time on that High Holy All Hallows Eve, that High Holy Samhain, there will be people in the body who are adept workers with the elders of humanity, with hierarchy, who will serve as the focal points for a great change that's going to be mediated in the human mind. And it's already being mediated right now in human blood and other kinds of glandular and secretionary aspects of the human body. And this will be the completion of that work. And that work will be, that will be the time that people will date, that esotericists will date the beginning of the sixth root race coming into being. And it comes into being not through birth, not through the birth of children, although we have outstanding children being born, and very unusual children being born now at this time in history. But they're being born because they're all like you and me. Because they're coming in at this time to do this work. But the change from the fifth to the sixth root race is a change that happens in a living person as he grows, as a cell would grow in a test tube. As you grow in the actual environment, it will happen. It happens in humanity. It's imperceptible. And the last aspect of that will occur at this time. And at that time, people will become extremely more sensitive to all that is around them. People will become much more aware of the invisible worlds. People become more psychic in the higher sense. There will be an end to much of the lower mediumship and things like this, and intuition will be operating, and a great gifts will be brought through intuition and things in the sciences and the arts. And this will be completed. It is actually true that the vessel through which a great change happens, and a change from a root race to a root race, is done in the human being as the human beings are alive and in flesh, and it is very often focalized through one being, one person. When a tomato plant, better as a tree, when an apple tree has many, many ripening ovaries, which are apples, green apples, rare apples that haven't ripened, or unripe fruits all over. One of those fruits becomes the first fruit to ripen. And that fruit depends upon having the juice put into it to create this condition that is offered sacrificially from all the other fruits. It's the work of the whole tree to bring this one into fruition. When this comes into fruition, it goes past, it makes a quantum leap, it goes past a certain point, and then it creates chemically pheromones that are released, and they allow them and help all the other fruits to ripen. That's why you can take one ripe, so I took my tomatoes the other day, I took one ripe tomato and I put them in a bag of green tomatoes. I put them all together, tied it closed so that nothing could pass out. Pretty soon I had ripe tomatoes all throughout the place. It's the same thing with people when they become ripe. We depend. Jesus Christ was not an individual lone wolf who came from somewhere else and descended here to show us what a good guy he was. He was a product of all of us. Every great avatar, every great being, every great teacher is something that we produce ourselves by the yearnings and strivings in our bodies. Now, another thing I want to say, and that work is being done right now. I'm working with something about that right now that I can't talk about at this time. The second thing I want to say is, as you know, I said before that that the human body is the greatest mystery of the cosmos. The things that are synthesized chemically, both on the physical chemical level and the astral and etheric level in our bodies, are very, very, very different. I had a student, and I pointed out to him that one of my young students at the school for gifted kids, I pointed out to him that when it rains and raindrops fall through thousands of electron volt voltage differences in electron voltage from high down to low, soft water without minerals in it, and they land on my plants in my garden, my plants immediately just go like crazy. They bloom, they do all kinds of things. Now, I can water them all I want. I'll never get those results from groundwater, and I never get those results from other kinds of things. I get other kinds of results from very enriched water. But this is a special kind of water. It falls from the sky. And he said, well, I will do a science fair experiment with this. And I had him read The Secret Life of Plants and things like this. He did an experiment which where he tried to do a very controlled experiment. And he, as well as kids can do things like that, you know. And he had two groups of plants. He had three groups of plants. He had a control group and he had a group that he watered. He didn't really have a control group. He had a group that he watered with just water put on the soil that came from the hose. Another one that he sprinkled from the hose at a very low height, and another one that he sprinkled from the hose, but he took the water up to two stories up and let it drop all the way down on his plants. And the plants that he dropped the water a long distance on very clearly flourished much, much, much better by about 30% than all the other plants. But the people that did the science fair didn't think it was very significant because there wasn't enough explanation for why that could happen. But the truth is that water is very different. If you've ever played with water, you take water and make it come out of a faucet in a very thin, tiny stream like this that's nice and fluid, and then you comb your hair or take a hairbrush and you hold it near the water, and the water will bend over to the hairbrush and fall around. Not because the water has the properties of static electricity sort of magnetism, but because what's dissolved in the water does. And that's an interesting thing to play with. There are all kinds of different water you can make because water dissolves things. What we are is water, which has very special things dissolved in it in such a way that we're all colloids and things like this. We are a very special kind of water. All we organic beings, we come from the water. And there are many kinds of water. And we can take and make special water to do different things because the water is simply a medium for carrying all kinds of things. Now, the chemistry of the tear, a tear of compassion that is shed by the Dalai Lama, may look similar, but not exact, but similar to the tear of a corporate raider who abuses women and kicks dogs. It may look similar, but not exactly similar. But it has very different properties. Because if we take a little vial of the tear that is shed by the Dalai Lama out of compassion, and this tear that is shed out of self-pity and out of frustration, they have two very different characteristics. And those characteristics be found, if we could have enough of these and pour them on plants, and enough of these and pour them on plants, we would find the difference very quickly. Because these plants would die, and these plants would flourish. And it's the same in the bodies of saints who have these in the medieval period when a saint would be buried in the ground. Very often they would dig the bodies up years later and find the bodies preserved, and there would be an odor called the odor of sanctity, which would be around the body of the saint. The saint's body was operating on a sort of different rules of matter than normal bodies. And there's many of these things that are very interesting. But the Master Jesus takes some spit and he rolls it up with some mud and puts it on somebody's eyes, and the person's blindness is healed. The spittle of the Master Jesus is a very different kind of stuff, not so much on a physical level, it's just a bunch of proteins and water, but what it carries with it on the esoteric level, on the astral level, on the etheric level, in terms of vital energy, in terms of certain kinds of what we might call higher fiery substances and so on, different kinds of prana and so on, what it carries is radically different than what the spittle of some kind of a human-hating criminal spits onto the street. And it's the same process. They're little cells, they're little Golgi bodies that export packets of protein that go out into little ducts, and then they're all brought together, and then you get a wad of spit, and here it is. But as you start doing sacred work, and as you start going through the purification practices and making higher and higher connections, and as you work to establish continuity of consciousness and build the antikarana and the spirelia of all your senses, begin to build this bridge of higher consciousness, and so that the olfactory sense starts to become a strong power of intuition, and the sense of vision becomes a clear vision, the clairvoyance, and the sense of hearing, a clear audience, and the sense of taste, the discrimination that allows you to see the motives of people who, no matter how well, what good actors they are, and all these things begin to open up for you. And as this happens, then also the chemistry of your body, the actual nature of your physical body and your flesh is changing. The vibration, so to speak, is changing of all this. And there is a change in the vibration of the physical matter of the human body between the fifth root race and the sixth root race. And much of what has been happening has been so speeded up, what's been going on in this century. And everything plays a part in it, from drug abuse to modern medicine, and all kinds of other things. There is, and to the worldwide viruses that have been spread around the world. As you know, a virus is basically viruses can cause and be instrumental in causing genetic mutation and the changes of things at the very genetic basis, that are just absolute seeds of life. And the viruses that have for the first time been able to sweep around the entire planet are not just negative, they're also positive. They're bringing something, and there is a work being done through, as the world finally became one and as humanity finally started sharing all those germs with each other, there is a work that's being done, and it's a work of that is working on the body and the physical nature of humanity, but not just the mental or emotional level. And all the things that have, if you look at the changes that have gone through, people have gone through in the last generation, and attitudes, just mental attitudes, women, race, religion, culture, the kinds of changes that have occurred in 20 years are like changes that took 1,000 years to happen in the earlier times. These changes that we're going through are not just mental, they're not just emotional. I mentioned that in Detroit, the night before Halloween was Devil's Night. That's when they go and light the cars on fire and shoot people and do things like that. This whole business of people acting out and doing the demonic. The original intention of Samhain was to purify and protect one's people against the incursion of negative forces. But the way modern Halloween is practiced is for everyone to dress up and partake of being the bad guy, being the demon. We infuse ourselves with the demonic. We actually obsess ourselves with it. And there's a reason for it. It's not to be disdained. It is part of the process, because humanity is finally bringing together the poles, the polarities, the black light and the white light is being brought together. And unfortunately, the shadow precedes the reality in all things. When most people first saw the woman's movement, they saw it as something evil and perverse. And a lot of people considered the suffragettes to be really unnatural beings that went against divine law and all this sort of thing. But the great change, a great thing that is going to be very positive, very often looks very negative at first. In Tibetan Buddhism, much of the initiatory work is done with dakinis and with frightening aspected things, because the face of God looks like the face of a demon. The face of God looks like the face of darkness and the face of strangeness. When we are looking at higher and deeper mysteries than we normally can see, if we want to see the face of God as smiling and loving and warm and understandable and something we can comprehend. But Tennessee Williams was not far from wrong when he looked at the baby turtles being born and racing for the ocean and the birds coming down and consuming them as they ran and saying, I've seen the face of God. Because God is not just a creator, he is a destroyer and he is a sustainer. And all these things, there's all this aspect of the divine. And in human beings, until we make the two into the one, until we bring the poles together, which we've been doing psychologically over the past 30, 40 years, Jungian therapy and things like that, but until we bring the whole thing together, and it can only be done by bringing the world together and the cultures together and the religions together and the ways of being together and being able to accept them all, until we bring all that together, we're separated and we're separative and we are polarized. And the wave polarity ends is by both sides of the polarity moving towards the center and finding a balance. And this is happening in society. All the crime we have in the United States, all the terrorism that we have in the world, all this stuff has a purpose. It's part of something. It's not just a negative byproduct. It is negative and it is a byproduct, but it's not just that. It's also part of a greater process. And when the great teachers train their most advanced students, they put them through rigors and terrors that you can't imagine. And the surgeon has to be willing to cut into the body in order to make the healing happen. And very often there is a great crucifixion that people have to go through and humanity has to go through in order to achieve the nectar. And that happens in all histories of initiation. And that is happening on the planet in many different ways, and that's why we have Devil's Night and razor blades and the candy and all that kind of stuff on Halloween. And all these other kinds of things, these are things that are part of a great process, and the process is good. And this country may look like it is morally bankrupt and falling apart, and as it was said, capitalism and all this kind of stuff is morally bankrupt. Oh, we're ruining nature. We'll clean it up. It'll all be cleaned up. The ocean will be cleaned up. The atmosphere will be cleaned up. The earth will be cleaned up. Because we have to go through this. We have to go through this before we can do the others. That doesn't mean that you and I should be ever in any position of supporting these negative things by any means, or participating in them, because the power and the juice has to be directed towards the positive. But it does mean that we have to know as we see them and understand that it is part of a process that is good overall and good. And that ultimately, it's a process that leads to the befriending of the demons and the angels and nature and humanity and non-human forms and human forms, and that those polarities are being brought together for great spiritual purpose. Last thing I wanted to mention tonight is that the work of Vaisak, Wesak, the time of the beginning of what we would call the spiritual year, the time of the astronomically the Aries full moon, that is the Aries sun and the full moon, which is the beginning of the spiritual year. That time, the time of that great full moon, is the polar twin of Samhain. And a Wesak is a... Has any of you ever been to a Wesak meditation or a Wesak service or work or anything on the Wesak moon? The Passover moon, the Easter moon, which now in Eastern Orthodox Christianity is celebrated at one time, and in Western Christianity at another time, And in Judaism, usually at the time of the Christian Easter, but sometimes at the time of the other, of the Orthodox Easter, I should say, the Western Orthodox, the true moon, the actual moon upon which the Master Jesus was crucified, that time, that astronomical time, is a gate. It's a time when there are certain things that are lined up in the galaxy against the zodiacal background of stars, so to speak. And that is a spiritual time, of a spiritual gate. It's like, in a sense, it's like a new moon, because it's a time of beginnings. But it is a full moon, and so it's a time of high, high spiritual communion. And that time, which is no longer coincides with the Christian celebration of Easter, but does very often coincide with the Buddhist celebration of Wesak or Vaisak, but it sometimes doesn't, because the Buddhist calendar is different than that. But it is, in fact, the Aries moon. That time, a very special time of the year, is the exact polar opposite to this time. And as a result of that, the Halloween time has become the negative lightning rod. It has become the time when the full moons are times when, as police departments will tell you, when all kinds of incredibly bad behavior occur. The time of the full moon, because the power of the moon, here's the earth, here's the sun, here's the moon, this is a full moon in complete alignment. At that time, that is a time when there is a strong, strong connection made from the highest elements of cosmic, solar, and planetary hierarchy down through all beings and all disciples. That time is such a powerful time. It's like pouring fertilizer on a garden. If the garden is prepared for it properly, then it's very powerful and gives it a lot of juice. But if it's not properly prepared, it can burn the plants and burn the things. And the energy that comes through into the planet, the hierarchical energy that is sort of spilled from the chalices of the angels, one might say, into the planet at that time, that energy will empower whatever levels people are working on. If a person is angry, he might get very, very angry. If a person is being sexual, he might get very, very sexual. If this person is being crazy, he might get very, very crazy. And police records will validate that on the full moons are the times when people do a lot of the craziest things, and there's the most police activity. Well, there is also the most sacred activity. Those are the most powerful times for meditation and higher connection. It all depends on using it. And these are polarities. Same thing with Halloween and Vaisak, is that those two are polarities. And in the Wesak, we put all the sacred stuff. And in the Halloween, we put all the bad stuff. But Halloween, Samhain, is a very sacred, sacred time. And when you learn how to work with it and cooperate with it, it can become a very, very powerful time of the year that that becomes important to the kind of work that people may do. You've been listening to private lectures given to THG probationers in 1991 during our weekly gatherings for the Liturgy of the Holy Grail. I gave the lectures in three teaching cycles of 7 one-hour talks. Now, the first teaching cycle has been edited into the 4 one-hour introductory tapes that are available to those who read the book called Initiation into the Grail Mysteries. What you've just heard are the unedited and unabridged second teaching cycle tapes from 1991 concerning the growth and evolution of the human soul and related topics. Now, the third teaching cycle was about Mar Yeshua, the Master Jesus. I have greatly expanded that into the Home Temple Diaconate lecture materials, and so it is not available as a set of tapes. However, there are other tapes and topical tapes that I will make available for people who wish to hear some of the other lectures. And the work that I'm doing with a group of probationers and THG initiates on Wednesday afternoon is being recorded, and there is a record of that being kept. Now, all probationers, those people that are
preparing for initiation, for the initiatic vigil and Wesak initiation into the temple, are encouraged to undertake the home temple studies for ordination. Because without that ordination, the last two first order empowerments cannot be completed, because while the home temple studies for ordination to the diaconate and the priesthood can be completed without initiation into THG, and people can work simply on the level of sacramental mystery ministry without ever getting involved in the mystery school, the THG first order empowerments cannot be completed without ordination into priesthood. And that's because they empower the initiates for the Grail priesthood, which is not only sacramental, but very advanced, far beyond this, into theurgical and extremely esoteric sacred operations. And that is why THG First Order is a required training for priests and priestesses of the home temple who are invited to undertake studies for the episcopate, that is, the highest office of an independent bishop of the home temple synod. So if you are working as a probationer, getting ready for your initiatic vigil and initiation at Wesak, I would strongly encourage you to think very seriously about undertaking the ordination training as well, because it's in the long run the introduction into far more esoteric things than the amount of the first order materials that you can go through without this training will bring you. There's also a second order. There's a second order which is open only to those that have completed all areas of the first order. And only bishops at this point have actually entered the second order, and it is a very powerful tantra called the Christ Melchizedek Tantra, and other teachings and other trainings that bring people into very advanced, indeed the most advanced kinds of evolution and psychic evolution and spiritual evolution that mankind has developed. These trainings are based on the innermost work of Tibetan Kalachakra Tantra, which was indeed that into which Madame Blavatsky had been initiated only in the first part in the Cosmological Tantra and not into the deep practices. But this is the deep generation and practices and the completion practices that bring people into the extremely advanced states of being. So I would encourage you to look ahead to all these things and keep abreast of our website and other tapes that are available and other publications that are available. Finally, I would say that on this last tape you heard reference to the High Holy Samhain, to a very special Samhain evening that was to come, and that was referred to in the tapes in 1991. Exactly 10 years later, in the year 2001, that work was done. This was at the time of the exact full moon, at the exact midnight, in the highest point of the Rocky Mountains, where Grail Master and Grail Mother, after much preparation, undertook the sacred work that involved helping a very major change of consciousness, a change in the noosphere, a change in the ongoing self-transformation of individuals in this planet and in this age. We did that work. Let me say that this is a work that I was told about 10 years before. All I knew about it was that it would be at the time of the Halloween. The Samhain that is celebrated by most pagans today is the midpoint between the equinox and the solstice in the fall, which is November 5th on our current calendar. By precession of the equinox and by tradition, however, it was November 1st when it was taken over as a church holiday, All Saints Day, and All Hallows Eve, the night before, was made into the Halloween practices and so on. And it is still, in fact, occurs on the night of Halloween in terms of the astral orientation to the body of cosmos. And it was on the night of December 31st at high midnight, highest part of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, the exact time of the full moon. At this time, when the veil draws very, very thin between the world of flesh and the world of spirit, we did sacred work that was far more significant even than the work that was done in 1988 to establish THG. And I'll be telling people more about that later.